Hi, everyone. Just want to give everyone the heads up today. Sorry in advance. We faced a few technical problems with this episode, but please enjoy Megan Walker calling in from Hungary, where she's playing in the EuroLeague. Welcome to the Tidal League podcast. I'm Kurt.
And I'm Trish.
And today we're joined by young WNBA guard for the Phoenix Mercury, Megan Walker.
What do you know about Megan?
Well, Megan has had a tremendous, tremendous basketball story to date. She's super young. She's got her entire life ahead of her. She's currently playing in the EuroLeague overseas for a club in Hungary. She just wrapped up her rookie season for the WNBA and was drafted by the Liberty, but has been traded alongside a friend of ours and a former teammate in hers, in Kia Nurse. And they're on their way to the Phoenix Mercury, where they'll join another friend of ours in Bria Hartley. So Phoenix is going to look really, really good this year, Trish. They've got, according to most, the GOAT in Diana Taurasi. Right. They've got Skylar Diggins-Smith, another superstar, Brittany Griner, another superstar, Bria, Kia, now Megan Walker. So, you know, I know you've got that Seattle Storm sweater.
I do, but I feel like I'm going to be a traitor. I'm going to end up being a Mercury fan this season.
Well, I'm definitely getting myself some Mercury swag. You know, I'm feeling it. I'm not gonna jump on the Seattle bandwagon, even though I'm a big fan of Miss Jordan Canada. But I think I'm going Phoenix on this one.
Seattle bandwagon. Listen, they have Sue Bird. She's a legend. There's no bandwagoning. You're just a Seattle fan, or you're not.
Yeah. You're just a fan of the coffee and the market.
I'm a fan. I'm a big fan of the Pacific Northwest. That is true. But I got to hear Sue Bird speak last year. God, I don't know. We lost a year, and already had mad respect for her on the court, and then just ended up having a major girl crush after the fact, hearing her talk just about the industry and about being a female in a male-dominated industry and elevating the WNBA, and really, she was super inspiring. And you know, that being said, Megan is young, but you can already tell that she's using her platform to inspire young girls and to make them feel as though they have a place and they have a voice, and that's so important. I think maybe even more important because of how young she is and how relatable she would be to young adolescent girls especially. So it'll be interesting to talk to her about that. And she comes from a law enforcement family and actually wanted to go into law enforcement herself. So how she was navigating the Black Lives Matter movement will be something that I'd be interested to bring up with her. We're a year deep in what's really been hundreds of years, but in the most relevant section of the Black rights movement, it'll be interesting to see how she thinks this past year has gone and where she sees her place in the future.
Exactly. So much to cover with her. Super young and has achieved so much. You know, I was going through just a lot of different research in preparation for this interview and getting myself familiar with her resume. And, you know, she had a chance to train at the Mamba Academy with Kobe Bryant. And it's not just, you know, a lot of athletes may have had the ability to be on the same floor or maybe train with him. But, you know, Kobe's got a picture with her on his Instagram. And that's pretty special when, you know, not only do you have the picture with him, but he also posted it. And she got a chance to work out with him and Sabrina Ionescu as well. So, you know, I'm interested to hear how that experience was like and, you know, what her, you know, what impact Kobe had on her life as well. So I'm looking forward to speaking to her about quite a bit and excited for this one.
That's great. Let's welcome her on the show.
Megan Walker. Megan, how is your day going?
It's going well. I had an off day, so relaxing. So thank you for having me.
We're excited to have you. You've had an amazing, storied basketball career to date, and you're super young, so you've got so much ahead of you. Where are you playing right now? For everyone who's listening, where in the world are you?
So currently, I'm in Sopron, Hungary, and I'm playing for Sopron Basket, a EuroLeague team. I'm very excited. We made it to the Final Four. So just my first experience being overseas and, you know, playing around great players in the EuroLeague is just an amazing feeling.
And you have... you've got a former teammate from college with you in Gabby Williams. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct. So I was able to play with her my freshman year her senior year. It's crazy what relationships can do for you. Just having her here made a world's difference for me. You know, just having your person makes you more comfortable.
Just having Gabby here made it, you know, easy for me to just jump right in and feel comfortable. Just being in that position before with her being a senior at UConn and me being a freshman, I'm able to, you know, talk to her about certain things going on in the court, get advice, and just look up to her. You know, she works hard. She's a great athlete. So just having her here makes an amazing difference.
Had a few WNBA players that come on, and we haven't really talked about what that dynamic is like. So, you know, you're back home, you're with your teammates. Is it a sisterhood? Is there competition? Is there cattiness? Like, what's that dynamic like?
Yeah, so I mean, we're always going to be competitive. I think we have that nature coming from UConn. So we always push each other every single day. But it's also like jokingly, you know, like we both want to get better. And, you know, I compete with her at the same time. You know, we're always pushing each other.
And as far as just, you know, thinking back to UConn and now, you know, you go through the craziest year. I mean, we've all gone through it with COVID. What have you found is just the biggest challenges and obstacles in going from college to the pros? And obviously, there's been its own set of issues with COVID and a pandemic. But what has that been like for you just to navigate?
Well, I'm not going to lie. It's been kind of tough. Just my whole situation, I feel like, is different than anyone else's. Just having COVID 6 weeks, not being able to work out. I was at my parents' home in Virginia, so I didn't want to infect them with the virus. So I stayed in my room the entire time, and then arriving to the bubble late as a rookie, you know, missing training camp, and then arriving the first game of the season and just trying to play catch up. So it was tough, but just mentally I was able to challenge myself and just know that these tough times won't last. So just being able to come overseas was huge for me to get an opportunity to play and compete, you know, in a pro setting, you know, that I didn't get to really experience in the WNBA.
And how has pro life overseas been so far, and how are you feeling? I mean, we've got preseason and training camp coming up shortly. I'm sure you're feeling a lot more prepared going into year two than you were.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. So just being over here and just getting game reps, being able to compete, I think it'll all be in full swing when it comes to the end of April, going into training camp. And then, you know, with the whole trade situation, it's a little bit different. You know, it's kind of like being a rookie all over again, but I'm so excited because I'll be better prepared.
I told Trish right before you jumped on, you know, she's a Seattle Storm fan. And I was like, you know, I'm not jumping on that bandwagon, but how can you not love the Mercury? I mean, you guys are stacked.
Okay. Just wait 1 second. So I am a Seattle Storm fan. I'm not, there's no bandwagon. I love the Storm. It's good. And now we have a brand new Phoenix Mercury team that has a makeup that might persuade me to be a Mercury fan. I don't know why you got to throw me under the bus like that. Like, honestly. let's just be really clear on this one. There's no bandwagon. I've always been a Seattle fan. I am a Seattle fan for many reasons. But mm-hmm. I'm open now to the possibility of becoming a Mercury fan, which I think actually would make me be a bandwagon jumper then if I actually do that, right? Because you're gonna be pretty stacked, that's for sure.
Trish, I hope after this season we can bring you on board.
Yeah, like I look, you just got to go down the roster, and it's like it's not even fair when I look. I mean, the WNBA is such a stacked league because there's not that many teams, and you've got all of these amazing pro athletes around the world that are trying to get into the W. That's why I think the W needs to expand. We need a team in Canada. But just touching on some of your teammates,
how excited are you to hit the floor with Miss Diana Taurasi?
I don't even know how to explain it. That's how excited I am. You know, just looking back at, you know, my high school career and college career, you know, you're always looking up to DT Maya. You know, that's all we hear about, you know, being at UConn, being in the program. So for me to get the opportunity to play with her, you know, and pick her brain and just pick up, you know, things every single day, it's just an amazing feeling. Like, I'm so excited to get there and, you know, start. And I feel like it's kind of a struggle a little bit, because I'm here, you know, so I have to focus on this situation without getting, like, you know, too tied into, you know, what's coming in the next month. But I think it's all good energy, really, for me.
And speaking about just Diana, you've had the chance and the ability, I mean, really a luxury to spend time at the Mamba Academy, hang out, train with Kobe Bryant. You know, Diana Taurasi is a lot of times considered to be, you know, that Mamba mentality in the women's game. So, you know, you're going to have the ability to share the floor with her, but you've also been able to spend time with Kobe Bryant. What has Kobe meant to you, and how did he impact you before he left us?
Mm-hmm. So I got the opportunity to go work out. I think it was the end of my sophomore summer. Yeah, going into my junior year. So just having that moment, I'll always cherish it. And I always, you know, play back things in my head that we talked about and, you know, just the things he picked out for my game. And I feel like to this day, I still carry them. You know, keep things simple. You know, just say, for example, on my fadeaway, you know, get a certain arc on the ball, just things that he taught me. It'll always stick with me forever. And then have an opportunity, like you said, to play with DT. You know, I think though that connection will be there as well.
I know that Kurt's been a Kobe fan for, I think, since he's been a basketball fan. So he mentioned that Kobe has a picture of the two of you on his Instagram, which, you know, it's one thing for those of us, for anybody who had the opportunity to know him or to meet him, to post pictures on our socials of him, but to be featured on his socials. What was that relationship like?
Mm-hmm. You know, we talked on social media a little bit, and then after the opportunity to work out, he posted a picture. I was kind of shocked, not going to lie. And I think my Instagram account went kind of crazy for a week after that. But it's just like, you know, things come in full circle. You know, just growing up, like, you never thought that you would have a chance to meet Kobe and work out with him and have a personal relationship.
And, you know, you go to UConn, the most storied program, you know, obviously, you know, UConn, you know, Tennessee, but you've now come into this league, to this pro WNBA space, and it has come a long way. We're celebrating 25 years of this amazing game at the women's level. So many women have come before you, and Kobe was, you know, he was another big advocate on the men's side for the WNBA and the women's game. So how does that make you feel, and how do you now want to take that torch and keep it running so that the next generation of young girls, you know, whether it's Paige at UConn coming up or the other 5-6-year-old girl who's looking at her brother and dad in the gym and saying, well, how can I pick up a ball and start playing? How do you now look forward to moving?
Mm-hmm. So I think that's what all pro athletes do it for. You know, that's a motivator because we've been in those seats of younger girls, like, one day hoping to be DT, or just hoping to, you know, hoping to be the next great player at the level. So that's, like, amazing for us to, you know, be a trailblazer and to keep things growing in a positive direction.
We've had a few of your teammates and fellow NBA players on, and we've talked about just that the responsibility of being a celebrity or a role model to a younger generation of girls. And, you know, you're young, so I'm sure to a lot of adolescent girls, young teenage girls, you're more relatable than some of the other icons and the other athletes that are out there. Mm-hmm. But how has that changed you? So that responsibility and knowing that you have that platform, how has it changed you for the better? And what are some of the ways that you've changed in order to live up to that, or to role model yourself mm-hmm. for young girls to look up to?
Well, I think for me, backtracking to freshman year of college, like, it wasn't the best experience I had. I mean, the best experience that I wanted, you know, performance-wise on the court. So then I came back my second year, had a better year, and then came by my junior year and was dominant, you know. So I feel like that helped me in a way, like, just teaching a little, just be an example to other kids that, you know, you can't get it done. And just because things aren't going your way doesn't mean that that's it, you know, that it's over, you know. So I would say, like, me just persevering through, you know, every obstacle that was thrown at me. And I'm still on that journey now, you know. So
Do you censor yourself at all, or do you have another platform, either social media or another way, where you can express yourself without worrying, you know, is the media going to pick up on this? Are there going to be trolls that come after me on this? Like, so much of our existence, especially with your age group, is based on social media and having that presence. And you're so young to have to be edited or be worried about people taking what you say or what you do the wrong way. Is there, you know, do you use Snapchat, or do you have a close friends only on your Instagram? Like, how do you navigate that, and how do you stay true to who you are, and then stay true to, you know, the image that you are, right? And they're both you. I'm not saying that one's not you. It's like, there's the image that we present to the public, and there's the image that we feel safe enough to present to those who love us and won't judge us. Mm-hmm. So how do you navigate?
Yeah, that's very true. That's a very true statement. Me, I'm kind of a private person, you know, but you basically get the same thing. I'm just not as, like, I'm on social media and stuff like that, but I'm not, like, on live, and I don't have a close friends on Instagram. I just have a Snapchat. But, yeah, I mean, I'm just me. I don't think I censor anything. I'm just a private person. Like, I'm more comfortable around my family and friends. But, you know, if you meet me, I think it's easy to gravitate towards me.
I was reading that you had wanted to be in law enforcement. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that? Deep into the archives.
Uh-huh. So my uncle is a DEA agent. And so growing up, just always being around him and, you know, just hearing, like, stories and stuff like that. And I watched Dog the Bounty Hunter growing up. I, like, was, like, obsessed with Dog the Bounty Hunter. I would literally watch it all day, every day. So, like, those two things. Yeah, so those two things kind of inspired me and made me want to be a FBI agent one day. And then we're going to see what happens. You know, depending on how long my professional career is, and then I'll, you know, dibble and dabble into some other things.
And how has, I mean, we were talking earlier about Black Lives Matter and just this past year of what's been centuries of Black rights and activism and trying to figure out a way to make our, you know, world not so fucked up. Pardon my language. How has that impacted you, where you see both sides, and how have you used your platform to show that law enforcement doesn't have to be the enemy?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think, you know, as a professional athlete, having that platform, number one, is very important, and how we use it, number two, is very important as well. So, you know, getting out there, around that time, you know, when, protests were happening, you know, all these things that we were sharing on social media to get our message out there and get our point across, for me, was huge. And I was glad I was a part of that.
What were family discussions like? Did you ever get, not to put you on the spot, but really, like, I have family who are in law enforcement as well. And I know that you can't generalize and you can't say that all systems are bad, but you know, it's also really scary to take that, to try and debate that point, or to try and defend those that aren't racist, those that don't abuse their power, the many, right, who outweigh these handful of, I don't want to keep on swearing, but like these assholes that are out there and that are allowed to have, you know, we look at what happened in Atlanta this past week. And it's like, how you can stand up and be so ignorant in a position of power. It's disgusting. So again, going back to, you have family, you have, this is something that you are passionate about. This is a career that you one day may pursue once basketball is done. How do you walk that line? Right? Like, does that make sense?
Yes, it does. And for me, when a lot of these things were happening, I was the end of the summer, I was coming overseas, but I had the opportunity to be in front of, like, my uncle, and we actually had a conversation about it. And one of the things that I asked him, I said, are you guys taught to shoot or to defend yourself in like certain zones, you know, cause I was really trying to understand like what are you guys taught? Like what are the situations, you know, that you guys are put through in training? And I was just trying to make it all come together.
Yeah.
If that
it
makes
does,
sense.
Yeah.
Like I wanted more background information. And he said they aren't taught that.
So like, how do you, so what's his solution to that? What is, how do you, from inside the system, how do you make the changes that need to happen? And is that like, is that something that can be done from the inside?
Mm-hmm. I mean, he didn't talk much about that, but I would think it would start there. You know, I think it's been allowed because I think it starts in that position, like in the department, if that makes sense.
Yeah, Megan, I do.
I just want to just ask on that point there, Megan, when you did get to the wobble, obviously the WNBA bubble, what was that like just with the entire campaign? I mean, everyone in the WNBA standing proud, Breonna Taylor's name, like, how did that feel? I mean, I just thinking about it, speaking about it, I mean, I get chills today just repeating her.
Mm-hmm. I mean, really, I felt honored to be a part of it, you know, because we were making a difference. We were making history. We were doing something that nobody else in the world were doing, you know. You know, we put our foot down, we made statements, we made videos, you know, all that stuff, like, really hit home, you know, because we were making a change.
And when you think, you know, the WNBA has come, we're going to continue to say, like, how far it's come. But in the last 12 months, just think about all of the impact that it's had, from the Say Your Name campaign to most recently. And I know, Trish, you were covering and reading up on it pretty actively, the entire Atlanta Dream situation, and really shifting the vote in the last 24.
Yeah, I mean, all those things like that you just mentioned, you know, we had a part in, and, you know, wearing those shirts for the Atlanta team, you know, something that we would do it, you know, we were family, we would do it every single time.
That's really it right there. So one of the first places to start, and God, anybody who's listened to the show or knows me knows that I just I hammer like the importance of voting. And in this last election in the States, it proved to be true, and how you can, you know, organize votes, and that people who normally in the past have felt disenfranchised or felt that they don't have a voice at any level of government, that the way to get that voice is to vote, is to cast your vote. And what you know, to me, the WNBA and the NBA played such a huge role in this last election, and I don't think it should ever be underscored. I think that I've never seen a group of professional athletes use their platform in such a constructive way to elicit positive change in their country. And all of you need to be applauded for that. But then it's like, okay, so here we're at, so what's next? So is there any, so do you guys have discussions? Is there anything that's talked about on your meetings that is what the next steps for social change are, or where, or is it just something that happens because of circumstance, right? Something like, you know, it'll be a reaction to something, or is this, are they still having conversations? Are you still planning forward and thinking, okay, how do we use this mm-hmm. platform next? Not Megan Walker as an individual, but as Megan Walker, a WNBA player, mm-hmm. like what are those conversations like?
Yeah, well, obviously it was more situational based within the bubble, but now we still have those calls as a league, and we're still having COVID vaccination calls as a league, and what we can do to encourage people and encourage, you know, our fellow teammates, you know, to get the virus, and how much better things would be. So, you know, I think WNBA and, like you said, NBA, we're definitely in the forefront. Like, you know, we're changing a lot of things and having effects on a lot of different situations within the world.
I mean, let's be clear. I follow a lot of different sports. And I've seen how different leagues have handled COVID and mm-hmm. the shutdown of their sports. And I've seen how the leagues have either tackled or avoided issues of social justice. And really, they've either learned from the NBA or they have buried their heads in the sand, and it's made me rethink my fandom of certain sports. And I know, so then my friends all laugh at me, right? Like, oh, you're not going to watch hockey anymore because you don't like the reaction. It's like, I can love the game, but that doesn't mm-hmm. necessarily mean that I need to put my time and my effort and my money into leagues and sports that don't value the things that I value. I don't mm-hmm. know, maybe that's a bit much. Sometimes that can be a little bit dramatic. It's all right. It is what it is. But I do feel justified in any support that I can give to the NBA because of the response by the coaches, the teams, the players, the ownership for the most part. It's been something really, as a fan, has almost been like the second best to the level of gameplay, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, that matters. Like, everyone's opinions and feelings matter. And these issues are real. They're not fake at the end of the day. So I feel like you're entitled to feel that way.
As you were coming up, you know, even before high school, you know, you started playing, I think it was, what, 4 or 5 years old? And, mm-hmm. you know, I'm sure as a young girl, you're thinking like, you know, everyone always says, you know, what do you want to be when you grow up? Are you a doctor, a lawyer? You know, professional athletes, not always, you know, the top answer that comes to mind. When did you start to realize that this was going to be your career path, your journey, and you realized that, you know what, there is an opportunity for me to have a career as a professional basketball player?
Mm-hmm. So growing up, it was like fun. You know, I love the game. I love to play. I actually played softball as well. And I don't think I really got serious about basketball until I got my first college letter, and I think it was from West Virginia in the 7th grade. And that's when it really clicked to me that I could be something special if I kept working hard and kept being on the path that I was. And then, of course, high school, when the rankings came out, that's when I really was like, okay, like, we're going to get this done. Like, we're going to do this.
And then you go to, you know, you have an amazing high school career. You win, I think you won every year, right? 4 titles?
Three titles.
And you've got your first letter comes into the 7th grade. Now you've got Coach Oriyama at your games. What was that like just being in the high school gym and you've got these coaches, but not just any coaches, you've got the best in the game coming to watch you. And obviously your teammates must have just felt that pressure, but also felt very privileged to have the ability to have Coach Oriyama in the
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my high school teammates, they were so supportive throughout the process because it was crazy. Like you said, big time coaches coming in every day, you know, just having eyes on you all the time. But for me, like, it was cool. It was fun. Like, I really enjoyed meeting all those different coaches and forming bonds. I think, like, now I still have those bonds that, you know, I made back then, even though I didn't attend their school. So it was pretty cool just to have that experience. And, you know, everything was just social media, like, for me now, I mean, it's worse now. I mean, not worse, but in a good way, you know, it's a lot more now, but things were really picking up on social media, I feel like, around 2017, like when I came out. So
you made history becoming the first woman from UConn to leave after 3 years at the same program and get drafted to the WNBA. Take us to your decision, and obviously take us to draft night. It wasn't a typical draft. It was done virtually. You had your friends and family around. Tell us about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so me declaring for the WNBA draft, it was basically just all about how I felt and my happiness and what I wanted to accomplish. And I think I put myself in the position, you know, going to the next level. So for me, it was like, I put the work in, you know, I challenged myself in many ways. Why not go and chase my dreams? So that was my whole thought process behind declaring for the draft. Draft night. So yeah, it was different. So with all this stuff going on, like COVID, I knew it wouldn't be normal, you know, the draft night in New York and, you know, all that stuff that comes with it. So I knew it wouldn't be normal, but I was okay with it. You know, I was still able to have my close family and friends with me. And, you know, that whole process was like crazy. I think like I got like overwhelmed, like right before, you know, I'm sitting there, you're waiting. It's like everything came full circle, but it was amazing. I will cherish that moment
forever. And just being able to do it at home, I think it kind of meant a little bit more to me.
Support for today's show comes from Locker Room, the best place to talk sports. When I'm watching a game, whether it's my favorite team, casually watching, or my favorite player, I want to jump into the game and join the conversation. For me, it's Twitter, but oftentimes I'm drowned out in the conversation. With Locker Room, I can be in the same room with passionate sports fans from around the world, talking about the game that we love. Locker Room is the first live audio platform built just for sports fans. On Locker Room, you can create and join live conversations with your favorite fans, athletes, and insiders. Whether you're reacting to breaking news, starting a watch party for a big game, or debating who should win MVP, Locker Room is the best place for live conversations about sports. Download Locker Room for free today on the Apple App Store. Locker Room, changing the way we talk sports.
So what happens? You know, it's a virtual draft. Tell us, like, what gets sent to you? How do you set up at home? I mean, you're not ESPN, but you got to figure out the setup. Do you have IT calling you? Just tell us about that. Like, from start to finish, what you received, how you set it up, and really from the time you opened your eyes on draft day.
Look, I would have thought I was ESPN. They sent, you know, all the headsets, the camera, the iPhone, the lights, all that stuff. But so I woke up early. I had breakfast. I actually had a videographer record my whole day because it was uninterrupted. They were doing a feature on me, so they had all that stuff and made it into a video. It's actually on my Instagram still now. But yeah, so I had breakfast. I got my hair and nails done, you know, and basically after that time, it was really time for me to get dressed. I did a sound check. I got dressed. I took a couple of pictures, and then it was go time from there on.
What color did you paint your nails?
They were actually like a clear coat.
And what did you wear? So I'm asking these questions because I realized the other day that I talked to the NBA guys all about what they wear, and I never asked the girls what you guys wear because I just don't want to be cliched. But now I'm like, now we're going to be equal opportunity. So what did you have on for draft night?
Mm-hmm. So I had on a mustard color pantsuit, like full top and bottom. And then I had on heels. They were like snakeskin with like a little bit of mustard, baby blue. And I had, you know, my rings, my Apple Watch, you know, earrings, all that good stuff. But oh my gosh, picking a outfit for draft night was so stressful.
Oh my God, you looked gorgeous. I just came onto your Insta. That is like,
thank you.
You looked amazing.
Yeah, it was so stressful.
Maybe even more stressful than if you'd had to show up to an award, like to an actual ceremony, right? Like,
yes. Yes, I agree.
You pulled it off, girl. You look good. Those are great shoes. Sorry, everybody who's listening needs to go look at Megan's Instagram. Just scroll down a bit. You'll see the mustard yellow suit and the snakeskin shoes.
And Megan, what did you know going into draft night? Like, did you have any inclination on where you would fall? And, you know, as pick one, pick two, pick three start to go, like, how does the...
So I kind of had an idea. I felt like it's really interesting now. I felt like I was going to New York. They were the strongest. You know, I had a good relationship with all the coaches. They reached out the most. We talked the most. And then it was Phoenix second. So I felt like I was either going to those two places. And in my head, you know, we know what teams need. And we know, you know, I think where we would best fit at, unless something, you know, drastic happened. But for me, I kind of knew, like, if I was – I either was going, like, number six to the Lynx, or I was going nine to New York. But if I didn't go to New York, I felt like I was going to Phoenix. But it just so happened that New York picked me right before the Phoenix had their number 10 pick. So I feel like it's kind of crazy that things came full circle, and now I'm actually a member of the Phoenix Mercury, you know, because they wanted me then. And so now, you know, they finally got me.
It's amazing how that works. And before we leave the draft night chat, you know, you get drafted to the Liberty, and you know, the commissioner calls your name. You've got Holly Rowe interviewing you. And then there's this clip of Kevin Durant welcoming you to the league. I mean, did you know about that or did it just catch?
I'm like, no way. It definitely caught me off guard. And then it's like a 10-second, you know, it's a 10-second delay when you have the headsets in. So I hear a voice and I'm like, who is this? Who is this talking to me? And then I look up on the screen, it's KD. So that definitely made my draft night even more special.
You know, we talked, you talked about draft night and the stressfulness of it, the stressfulness of setting up, the picking the outfit. We talked about COVID and the lockdown. And on our show, we talk a lot about mental health and what our guests do to help give them some peace in their life. What are sort of some of your tricks or go-tos for when you're feeling stressed or when you're dealing with really tough situations and you try to even yourself out and come out positive on the other side of it?
Mm-hmm. I think for me, like if I'm feeling overwhelmed or stressed with basketball first, like my situation now or, you know, how things are going, I think I revert back and I go watch old games and I go watch old highlights, you know, just to feel better and, you know, to give yourself some credit, like, you know, things are tough, but you made it this far, you know, and things will keep going, just stay the path, you know, keep believing in yourself. So for me, that's the easiest reminder and my go-to. But off the court, if I'm feeling stressed, I mean, not about off the court, but, you know, my family first, you know, I always can just call them and just have like good conversations and, you know, tell them how much I miss them and love them with, you know, me being all the way over here and COVID restrictions. We're actually still in lockdown now in Hungary. We're on like an 8 p.m. to 5 a.m. curfew. So like that's been tough. But, you know, I think when you have a good support system, you can get through anything.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with that. I had another question. Now I can't think of what it was. You threw me off and you said that you were on lockdown again. Yeah, I mean, about that, just so having your friends. Oh, yeah. OK, that's what it was. All right. So you're somebody who has been probably gearing up for this from a very young age. Right. So like your friends, your family, they cheer you on. They support you. They've been through all of this with you. But do they still keep you in check? Like, do you have, like, that one person or that group of people where, you know, I'm Megan Walker, I'm in the WNBA, and you're great, you're fly, everybody, like, you know, loves me. Is there still that friend that makes fun of you and, like, puts you back in your place or humbles you, keeps you real? Do you have that or do you not need that?
Yeah, for sure. I think all athletes kind of have that, though. Like, their go-to, well, you know, one or two people that they really sit down and have real conversations with, you know, about their success or about, you know, whatever's going on and what needs to get done. So, for me, it's Barbara Turner and Tina Thompson. So, Barb, she went to UConn, and I met her. I used to work out with, well, still do now, but worked out with John Lucas in Houston. So I met her through John. She was at a workout and we kind of clicked, you know, we connected with the UConn bond and all that good stuff. So we connected and we just have like a strong relationship now. She's like a mentor to me and, you know, we talk daily, you know, about the real and about, you know, what my accomplishments are, what I want to get accomplished. And she helps me, you know, she keeps me level headed. Yeah.
That's amazing.
Playing at all levels, high school, college, WNBA, now playing overseas. How different is the game played at all different levels? And really, outside of America, now that you're in Europe, do you notice a huge change in the game? What's the talent pool?
Mm-hmm. It's crazy to hear you say that, like playing at all three levels. Like, I think it's now, like, since rookie year is almost over, it's kind of clicking in, like, you're like a pro now.
But you've also played for Team USA in different parts of the world. So you've really been able to, this basketball has taken you so much further than, you know, West Virginia.
Mm-hmm. It's taken me further than what I could ever imagine. But growing up in high school, you know, being able to win three championships and, you know, put my city on the map was definitely huge for me. But the competition there, we had people go to Louisville, UNC. You know, we had good competition in my area. And then at the college level, for me, I think the biggest adjustment was just not, like, being the best player. Like, for me, really, like, learning how to compete and then learning how to dominate at that level. And I think that was one of my goals, like learning how to dominate at every level. So high school, college, and the pros. So now being a professional, I think the league, it gives you more space. The floor is more space and it's less physical. I think overseas for me, it's the physicality of the game. They run a lot of like staggers, you know, fighting through screens, things of that nature.
And what is the entire just culture like as far as language barriers? You're not playing in an English speaking country. Does your coach speak English? Like, how do you communicate with teammates?
So thankfully all my teammates speak English and so does my coach. So in that category, I think I've been pretty blessed. So it's easy, you know. I think the hard part is when you want to go grab something to eat and you want to look at the menu and you can't understand anything. So I think that's been the hardest part.
Tell us about Hungarian cuisine. I mean, I don't know too much about it. I just know they like a lot of.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they like greasy foods and stuff like that. But, you know, here we have Aldi and like Lidl, like, you know, American kind of grocery stores. So I'm able to get things that I want and, you know, cook. But I do like their pizza over here. I think pizza overseas is way better than pizza in the States.
Wow. That is a statement.
Mm-hmm.
You guys have great pizza. What makes European pizza better?
Well, for me, I think it's the thin crust and the portion of sauce to cheese ratio.
Which is more sauce, less cheese, or vice versa?
Less sauce.
More cheese. Okay. It's good. Kurt's a pizza expert. You can't hear him.
I've ate pizza in Italy. I can fuck with it, but Hungary, I don't know. I'll take Megan's word for it. I don't think I'm going to be heading over to Hungary anytime soon, but when I do, I'll make sure
do
I
do a pizza challenge, European edition.
Damn right.
Yeah.
So when you finish the EuroLeague and, you know, we're rooting for you to be a EuroLeague champ. I know that playoffs are starting, right? Or have started.
Mm-hmm. So we just finished the quarterfinals for EuroLeague and now we'll head into a Hungarian league playoffs. So that starts on Thursday and we'll nice. Play best out of three.
That's amazing. Well, we're excited for you. When you return to the U.S., you'll be going to your new home in Phoenix. Question for you, have you ever been to Phoenix before?
Only one time. So that's why I'm like, you know, nervous and but anxious, you know, excited at the same time. But it's a whole fresh, brand new start.
How excited are you for the warm?
I love the warm weather. You know, I think it'll be different. I don't think there's no beaches there, so it'll be different in that aspect. But, you know, I have Brianna Turner. She's on the team, and she told me I'm going to love it. And she loves, like, the pool and outdoors and stuff like that. So I think I'll get out and I'll sightsee a bunch.
Yeah, you don't realize how quick you become a pool fan once there's no beaches around for you. Like, mm-hmm. it's a whole other lifestyle.
Yeah, I'll see.
And
it could be okay.
As far, you know, we talked a little bit about your new teammates in Phoenix. You guys are going to be stacked. You know, we all know the expectations will be, you know, championship. But what do you, you know, the Phoenix team is very, very close and synchronized with the men's team, obviously the same ownership. How excited are you to kind of see some of those guys on the Suns and obviously the ability to pick their brain and talk to a guy like, maybe it's Chris Paul, a great shooter like you and Devin Booker. I'd love to see you guys go toe-to-toe from the three-point line in a three.
Yeah, Book and Chris Paul, I got to meet them. I think I'll see them a bunch, you know, in the facility and things of that nature. So that's another part I'm looking forward to.
So who's winning, you or Book?
Sheesh, bet on yourself.
Damn right. Damn right. I mean, hey. We know you're lights out, so I think that would be a ton of fun. We're gonna have to make that happen.
Yeah, well, let's make it happen.
I have a question for you. who in all the league would you be the most nervous to match up against?
Nervous.
Not to say that you won't be able to take him, her, whoever it is, but who would make you the most nervous?
I mean, of course, you know, LeBron, Kevin Durant, and I think for me, Jason Tatum. I think I model my game after him a little bit. Like, he has a crazy skill set. So those three, for sure.
Those are pretty solid choices.
When you when you think of the crossover between the men's and the women's game, you know, for a lot of people who have never watched a WNBA game, they have no idea what they're missing. And really, if you speak to any fan or even basketball purist, they'll rave about the league. So when you have the ability to work out with, you know, different athletes from the men's side, what is that experience like for both parties? What are they learning from you, and what are you taking?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, that happens pretty often, not gonna lie. Like in Houston, working with John Lucas, I've had the opportunity to work out with like all the Houston Rockets guys. And I think just seeing how they work and how they get stuff done in workouts, like, you can see how they perform in the game, you know, because they're doing that stuff on a regular basis. So for me, it's encouragement. And then for them, you know, them being able to see how hard we work and how hard we grind, I think it's an eye-opener for them as well.
What would you say motivates you the most?
Mm-hmm. Just being myself, really, just wanting to be the best. And I touched on this earlier, like wanting to dominate at every level. And I think that really motivates me. Like, all right, check, we got high school done. Check, we got college done. So now this, the only thing left is a professional.
And let's be real, you're checking, I got college done, was on when, like, the best team. So that should be like a double check.
Right? Yeah, a triple check.
Triple check, yeah, okay. UConn is, we're not going to go back, but UConn is a powerhouse, obviously, and it's just unbelievable. I always kind of marvel, like, what's in the water? Like, what happens there? So is there any secrets that you can, like, divulge to us of what, I mean, what is the secret sauce that happens that just elicits so much greatness?
I mean, Coach, he's him. And I think what he brings every day and his knowledge about the game and, you know, the type of players he recruits, we all want the same thing. We all have a common goal. And it's like we're not playing, you know, for ourselves. We're playing for the name on the front of our chest, you know, the name on the uniform. And I think everyone gets that. And I feel like that's why he's been able to be, you know, so successful and have such a dominant program. And it's the way we compete every day. Like, you know, we're in practice, we're going at it, like, every, from start to finish, you know, it's boom, 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 boom. Like, we're not missing a beat. And I think that separates, you know, UConn from other schools.
What's the one lesson that you carry with you that he gave to you? Mm-hmm. That's like almost every day you think about it.
Probably the competition part, you know, learn how to compete at a higher level than the other people on the floor. And when you do that, you know, you'll always be successful because you're going to be talented. You know, you have the skills, you have everything else. But if you compete harder and you have those skills, you're going to dominate.
I think, like, for those that know about Coach Auriemma, like, you talked about the adjustment. You know, you go from being the best player on your team to now, like, okay, how can I be the best amongst the best? And obviously, mm-hmm. we saw that leap from your sophomore to junior year. You figured it out. You killed it. But when you get there as a freshman, he's not easy on freshmen, and he's not going to tell you that you're great because that's the expectation. How hard is it on first day, on those first few days, those first few practices? Is he just, and then when you're a junior looking back, like, how does he treat his freshmen?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when you first get there, you have no idea, like, at all what you're getting yourself into. And that's, you know, just from adjustment to college and adjustment to the basketball side as well. So I think everything he does and how he develops his freshmen and how, you know, how much pressure and, you know, things he puts on them, I think it's all worth it in the end. And then looking back from my junior year, I think he said something about this. I was talking to my teammates about, come on, like, let's go harder. You know, like, you're not working hard enough as a junior. And he said he sat back and laughed, you know, because that was me 2 years ago. you know, so
you become the master. The apprentice is learning.
Yeah, you get it once you're a junior, because when you're a junior, you're playing and performing like you're a senior, you know?
I love it. So, you know, we talked a little bit about just, you know, the crossover between both the male and the female and some of the differences. But, you know, I think of that video, and I'm sure you've probably seen it, where Cappy Pondexter just put Sebastian Telfair to bed in that open run where she's coming up, knocking down jumpers, crossover. Are you familiar with the clip? And two, can you put anyone on?
I haven't seen the clip. I don't have much to say about that, but you know, it gets crazy. It gets crazy when the camera comes out.
We won't expose anyone, but just telling anyone who's listening, just general fans, basketball fans, sports fans, why should they watch a WNBA game? You know, for all the haters out there who say, oh, the game sucks, women shouldn't be playing, like all of those shitty gender equality, just, you know, that haterade, like, what do you tell them?
I mean, we could talk about this for hours. Like, I just think we still bring excitement. You know, we're still professional athletes. Like, we still work as hard as the men. And I don't understand why, you know, we don't get the same credit sometimes. But I think for us, for the women, the WNBA, we're on the same track as the NBA was. Like, if you look back, we're on the same track. We're 25 years in, and we're gradually, year by year, we're getting paid more, you know, we're expanding our platforms, you know, we're doing social justice work, you know what I'm saying? We're expanding. So I feel like we deserve that same credit.
I love it. I love it. I got a few questions before I hand it to Trish. I guess just some quick things. Maya Moore is your on the record for saying she's your favorite Olympian, someone I'm sure you looked up to. You know, we can't wait till the day that she potentially steps back on the court. I know she's not coming back this season. Who are some of those icons and legends in the women's game, maybe aside from Maya, that you look?
Mm-hmm. For sure, Tina Thompson. Her lip gloss or red lipstick days. And, you know, another one, I watched Candace Parker a lot, her days at Tennessee.
Yeah.
And then once I got to high school, it was probably Stewie. I looked up to her a lot. And then I was able to, you know, guard her when we played our exhibition game against the USA team. So that was cool.
And sure. You missed Stewie. You know, Stewie left a year before you got to UConn. You've obviously had the chance now to play with her. We recently had Miles Turner on the show from the Pacers, and he said that's probably, you know, she is just so talented. What is she actually like in the flesh?
Yeah, she's like super tall, like long, lanky. You know, you could tell, like, you know, it's different seeing someone right beside them and then on the court watching them. So, you know, she gets it done. You know, she's cool, calm. Like, we have a good relationship. I'm able to talk to her about, you know, the game and stuff like that. So I'm grateful for that.
Amazing. What are you playing in? What are you rocking? Checks, stripes? Is it something else?
Sheesh. So I've always, like, played in Nikes, you know, probably my whole, you know, basketball career. So I play in Kyrie's right now. I got like almost every color Kyrie over here with me. But you know, I'm open to like different shoes. I'm more of a high top person, but, that's why I think I like his shoes, because they're like stable. You know, they're good for like shiftiness and stuff like that.
So we're definitely going checks over stripes on that one.
Yeah.
And you know, we obviously are familiar with, Tae Young. You know, she killed the game when it comes to swag and really just, you know, she's just not afraid to rock whatever she wanted to rock. We always see the, you know, on the men's side, everything when it comes down to league fits. Now we're starting to see more ladies on league fits. What would you rank your fit?
Mm-hmm. It's on 1,000.
But, oh yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, it's on 1,000.
Completely.
And
agree.
I don't think a lot of people know though. They don't know yet. What'd you say, they Trish?
Will. I completely agree with you. I was just looking at your Instagram. Your fit game is on point. We just need to we need to make sure that it's showcased a little bit more.
Yes.
Yeah. So I think with the tunnel fits and, you know, all that stuff going viral, like you said, Ty Young and just people being themselves, I'll be able to do a little bit of that this year. I'm actually excited about it because that's another way, you know, I could, you know, express myself. And, you know, I feel like I'm a private person, you know, so another way of people getting to know me better.
I love it. And you're going to have to get us some MKW swag as well. We're going to need some of that up here in Canada.
MKW, yeah, it's coming out soon, so I'll definitely keep you guys posted on that and get you guys some gear.
Amazing. Two more from me. What's your most memorable basketball moment to date?
Sheesh. Yikes, that's kind of hard. I've had a bunch of good ones, but probably maybe the McDonald's All-American game. I think just, you know, being a part of that, it was cool. It was like a dope experience. And, you know, that's like kind of a constant reminder of like all the great players who have come before you, you know, they've accomplished that. So
great. And I mean, that McDonald's All-American, that was Trae Young was on the men's side for that game, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah, he was. All those guys, you know, I feel like they came in with me, you know, and they left, you know, 1 year. So all those guys, they're in the league.
You're giving Trey the smoke as well. It's going to be you book Trey.
Yeah, all the smoke.
Let's go. And 3-on-3 from all the teammates you've played with, what two teammates are you putting on your squad? And you're putting house money on, like, we got to get this dub.
Sheesh. So I only got two other teams.
Well, you got to include yourself.
Only
you
two.
I mean, unless you don't want to, but I mean, how can you not include
because
yourself?
Because a 3-on-3,
team, three.
You have four teammates. You have four. I mean, you have four total players. You got like one sub.
Okay, we'll give you three. So, you got.
All right, cool. So,
I just want you to know, Megan, that you are the only person, you're the only player who has corrected this question. to get that sub on the roster.
Yeah. So out of all my teammates, I think I can't go wrong with Crystal as PG.
Yeah.
Crystal Dangerfield. And then I think Gabby for sure. Mm-hmm. And then post player, let's go with Z as Ray Stevens. I gotta keep it in the Husky.
I'm sure it's gonna change once you start balling with Brittany, so
yeah, look, I'm not there yet. So we got to revisit it then.
Okay, so recap it for me quickly.
Okay, so Crystal Dangerfield, Gabby Williams, and Azrae Stevens.
I love it. I love it. Awesome. Yeah. I'm going to pass it over to
Okay, so my questions, I ask these questions to all of our guests. They have nothing to do with basketball. So, and you don't have to think too hard about them. But if you were going to write your autobiography today, what would you call it?
I might stick with MKW. I think that means like a lot to me, and it's more than people know. It's like the brand, you know, just everything. Yeah. So
I love that. Okay. And who would you get to play you in the movie?
I kind of like Sanaa Lathan, like maybe based off Love and Basketball, like how she played that character so well.
I have to tell you, she's an icon, and she's been the answer of almost every single female guest we've had on this show. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
because it's that character, and I get it. I completely get it. Which TV show, either past or present, can you relate to the most?
Ooh, can I relate to the most? I guess Sisters. I don't know if you're familiar with that show. It's the Tyler Perry. Just you know, with all your friends and y'all going through life together, I guess so.
Love it. Those are amazing answers. Megan, thank you so much for coming on the show with us. We really appreciate you taking the time. I know that you're 6 hours ahead of us, so I appreciate you staying up a little bit later to get this done. And we're excited to see how things play out in Hungary, but more excited to have you back in the U.S.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for having me. I had an amazing time.
Thanks for tuning in to the Title League podcast. Join Trish and I every week as we take you into the lives of the players and personnel from the WNBA and the NBA. Tune in wherever you find your podcasts.